I would like to turn over in Genesis, the 19th chapter. You pray for us this evening. I have a little thought on our mind. I'm very interested in people making it to heaven. Very interested in you dealing with your soul's needs. I'm very convinced that there is a God. And I hope you are tonight also. And if we work from that fact in our mind, we have to also then admit to ourselves that there's going to be a day we're going to have to meet Him. He has given us all a soul. And inside this soul of ours, many times from birth, somewhere between birth and the grave, there's many things happen to the soul. There's many things that come along and affect the soul. And our decisions, the decisions that you make while you're here, and it may happen tonight, the decisions that you make tonight will determine where you're going to end up, how you're going to face Him. Someday we're going to meet Him face to face, and then it's when either the blood of Jesus will cover us, or else we won't have any excuses. And today is the time we have to choose. Over in Genesis, the 18th chapter, I want to pick up a thought here in the 20th verse. It said, "And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous." And the little point I want to get out of this is the cry of Sodom. The cry. Sometimes we think of cry, and I've seen people that they came and their hearts were full and burdened, and out of the depths of their heart there seemed to utter a very heartfelt, just a came out of them, a groan, a need down in there. And they cried. That was the utterance of their soul. There was a need that was coming out. And when sometimes we find people come to the altar, their heart has been broken by the Lord dealing with their soul, and they come down there crying with that type of a cry, "God, I need your help." And they come down here, and that's what's uttering out of their soul is a heart cry for the Lord. And that is a cry of hope. When we come to the Lord, dear ones, like that, there's hope for us there. But this cry was different. This cry was a brazen proclamation of where I am. The cry of Sodom came up before the Lord's ears. The Lord, He constantly hears the cry. Whether it is a cry of repentance, whether it is a cry of brazen, "I am me, Lord, and I'm just going to do what I want to anyway," He hears that cry. That cry offends Him. The Lord looked down. He saw Sodom. Sodom and Gomorrah, they flaunted their wickedness in the face of God. They had no regard to God or His holiness in any way. And they were so driven by the spirit of lust, by the spirit of the flesh, that they allowed themselves to go out carelessly without regard to God and violate every principle that God put in the soul of man. And God said, "I hear that cry." See, that cry has come up to me. Dear ones, I believe we live in a world today that is very much like Sodom was back then. When you look around us, you see the disregard, total disregard that people have today before God. They carelessly go on. They don't care about what they do. And they flaunt it on our street corners. They flaunt it at the grocery store. They flaunt it out on their front lawns. They don't care anymore. Dear ones, we live in a time that I believe the cry is coming up before God. I believe God recognizes this, dear ones, and it comes up as an offense to God. There is going to be a day that there's going to be a just God that's going to say, "I hear the cry of Sodom. I hear it." And He's going to come, and may God have mercy on this nation. The fact is that we're all going to face God. We're all going to face God. We have that ability here tonight. That choice is in our hands. We can tonight choose how we're going to face God. Tonight is in our hands right now how we're going to approach this Heavenly Father of ours. There is a God. We have great responsibility before Him. Let's go on with this story a little longer. Over here in the 19th chapter and the 12th verse, maybe we'll start at the 15th verse. And when the morning arose, you see, God said, I heard the cry of Sodom. That has come up to my ears. And He said, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to really check this out. And He went down and He started looking at these people. And as these two angels went down, went through the middle of Sodom, went to talk with Lot. Remember, first He went and talked to Abraham. And Abraham pled for Sodom and Gomorrah, the people down there. But the cry got too great, dear ones. We can plead for souls today. And that we should do that. But there is coming a day that the cry will be too much. And the God of heaven will say it's too much. And He will call all this into judgment. Well, here, these angels, they went into Sodom and Gomorrah and came up with Lot, came to Lot. And Lot, well, you know the story of how the men of Sodom, they came and barraged the door. Wickedness, terrible wickedness. There's a terrible cry came up to God's ears. And here in the 15th verse, and when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters. You see, God saw the wickedness of Sodom, and He said, this has got to be stopped. And He came, and in His mercy, before all humanity, He made an example of these two cities. He let humanity know this was a wickedness He couldn't allow to go on like this. But because of His great love and His mercy and the importuning of one of His children, Abraham, he went down there and helped Lot and his family to escape, some of his family, not all. And when the morning had arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Dear ones, we're going to have to keep ourselves from the world. We're going to have to put boundaries in our life. There is a spirit of lust that flaunts itself around our doors today. There are times, young men, we need to put blinders on our eyes. There are times when we need to keep our bodies under subjection. There we live in a world that flaunts this type of wickedness, and it comes so close to our doors, we almost get used to it. Oh, may God help us today. Dear ones, let's not allow ourselves to get used to this type of wickedness, this nakedness of the world. Oh, that should offend our souls. The cry of this thing is coming up before the Lord, you see. We should not allow ourselves to be defiled. He said, get away from this thing, because if you stay here, you're going to be swallowed up in it too. Dear ones, we can't allow ourselves. Oh, this spirit of the world would like to infest these benches that you sit in here tonight. The spirit of the world would like to get you to accepting a certain amount of nakedness on your own body. Oh, dear ones, tonight, run from that spirit. Don't allow it to get a hold of you. Oh, this is the thing of the world. That thing would creep in and by increments into your life until you get comfortable that way. Oh, the angels came down. I know it says that it vexed Lot's righteous soul, but evidently he got comfortable in this place because he didn't want to leave it. How did he get comfortable? He got comfortable by staying there. He stayed there and he got used to it. Slowly, by increments, he got slow boiled into it. He got used to it. Made his home there. He invested his time, his energies, his thoughts. He spent time there with them. And here it came time for the judgments of God to be placed on this thing, and he couldn't hardly leave it. By God's mercy, He got him out of there. He said, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life. Escape for thy life. Dear ones, we don't see. Yes, we look around and the wickedness is great. And we don't. And it looks almost like we're living in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. But there is another place that I want to think about more than the physical. There is an assault on your soul today. Here is a place where the devil is trying to work his wiles in you. He said, escape. Turn from these things, dear ones. Turn from them. Don't allow the devil to come in and cause us to go after the things of the world. There are things out there that will assault your spirit. There are things out there that will start causing a crust to grow across your soul. There will be a slow hardening of your heart where the voice of the Lord, the cry of your soul will be deadened and you won't be able to really have contact with the Lord anymore. But oh, dear ones, when the Lord comes and checks you on anything in your life, that's the time to listen to His call. That's the time to respond to it and flee these things, dear ones. Because the longer we stay in that condition, the more plausible it sounds. The more comfortable we get in that condition. God would have us to flee. By His mercy, He came and He put His hand on His. He was wanting to linger there. Oh, you'd think that he would have been awakened. You'd have thought that he'd have said, yes, I'm glad to leave. There's great wickedness here. And I understand you're about to destroy this. I'll be glad to get out of here. But somehow he had been blinded in his eyes. And he couldn't see clearly. Somehow, dear ones, these spirits of the world will come and will blind your eyes. Get you to where you're comfortable doing this. God help us today. It wasn't convenient for him to leave. You see, he had to do some things. He had a home there. He had family there. He went and talked to some of his family and said, this place is going to go. The Lord's going to send His judgment here. And he went and talked to them and they laughed at him. Evidently, he believed it enough to tell them that. But somewhere when it came to him making his decision, somewhere when it came to him actually leaving, to him drawing the line and saying, this is as far as I can go, I can't go any farther, he got comfortable there. All by increments, the devil will try to get you to get comfortable here. It wasn't convenient for him to leave. I would like to turn over into Isaiah, the 55th chapter now. There are people today that the cry of their spirit. Let's back up a little bit. There are people that have lent their spirits, their soul, to the things of the world. And as they go down that path, they wake up someday and realize the tremendous empty void that's there. And they don't know what to do about it. Here they are, caught in this trap. They hardly know how to untangle the web they've weaved. It's too complicated. They go down that path, and they come to a time that they finally face themselves in a mirror. Seems like everything that they once held dear or precious starts being taken from them. I've seen people that they go down this path and not meaning to go very far down it, but they start down that road and they may for a while sit here in our midst, may for a while still try to hold a testimony. And as they go down that path, very slowly, you'll find them putting more value on other things out there. They're going to have their heart on the things of the world and it will start absorbing more of their time. And then they get to where they don't have the time to come here and sit in our midst. They don't have the time to wake up in the morning and bow on their knees and beg God for grace and strength to overcome the world as they go out on the jobs. And then they start, the weakness in their soul gets to the place then that there is opportunities for these spirits of the world to get a hold of them. Now they go out on the job and there's ungodly people that live out there, and there's ungodly women on the job, and here are these influences come against their spirit, and they're not strong in their soul. And there's many times men have failed right here, and it happened so slowly. It happened because they weren't taking care of their soul's needs way back there. And all of a sudden they get in a place, how did I ever get here? And then all the precious things in their life starts leaking out, and they wonder then, they look at themselves in the mirror, tears streaming down their face, how did this happen? How did I get here? This is how it happened. They got comfortable going down that road. They got to where they petted that thing a little. They weren't vigilant. They weren't careful to stay away from that. It became more convenient just to neglect your prayer life. It became more convenient just to fit in with the crowd. It became more convenient just to go out there and do the things that the world does. They started calling to their spirit, and they went ahead and invested their time in that. Oh, dear ones, when people do that, it leaves desperate, terrible holes in their heart. Amen. It leaves a shell of a man. I've seen that happen. I watched a man back in our territory. I watched him go down this road. And I watched him. He gave himself to drink. And at first, in his youth, he thought he could control it. And he got married, had a wonderful, wonderful wife, and started having these children. He loved those children. I've seen him bandle them on his knees. I've seen him hug them. And then I watched this thing go to the point that it stole everything precious from his life. He got to running around out there with other women in the world. It broke everything up in his home. Everything was taken from him. His health was taken too. And he wasn't that old a man. But he looked a lot older than what he was. And one time his mother didn't even recognize him. You see, it took everything precious from him. It stole everything that he ever had precious. And it came to the place that he would make a start every now and then to claim he was going to try to dry out and be better. And then it came the time that he got a call that he had died. And they found him in there dead with empty bottles all around him. That was a terrible hole in his heart that he never overcame. The cry of that thing, though, came out before the ears of the Lord. Dear ones, we think of the nation and the cry going up, but think of what your soul tonight is sending up to the Maker. There is something in your very spirit tonight. Either you're telling the God of heaven that you have a contrite heart tonight. Either you're telling the God of heaven that you want to serve Him, or you're telling Him that you're going to rebel against Him. The cry is coming up before the Lord tonight. Oh, dear ones, there's going to be a time that the Lord will give you your reward, whatever that might be. But you have an opportunity tonight to choose that reward. Over here in Isaiah, the 55th chapter, it said, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, ho, everyone that has an empty hole in your heart tonight." As there's a cry in there, oh, don't smother the cry of your spirit tonight. If there's a place in there, maybe has been smothered by many influences in the world. Maybe you pushed that voice down. Maybe you tried to push it down and go on trying to find pleasure in life. But all the emptiness now of life caves in upon you. Oh, dear ones, don't smother the cry of your soul tonight as it comes up before the Lord. Listen to this. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, if your spirit tonight is thirsty, if you're living in a dry and desolate land, if your spirit tonight is abused by Satan, I want you to know, Jesus says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, ho, everyone that thirsteth. I want you to listen to this tonight. He said, ho, listen, I want you to understand something. Come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, dear ones, sin will leave you desolate. Nothing to buy. I remember when I came to the Lord, I realized my great desperate need of Him. My absolute bankruptness before the Lord. I remember the desperateness of my soul. And I argued with the Lord. I didn't even hardly realize at that point that it was His Spirit dealing with me. But I told Him, Lord, You don't want me. There's nothing here left for You. Oh, but somehow His love broke through that. And He helped me to know that I could come to the water. Oh, dear ones, tonight, don't let the devil steal something from you tonight. If there is in your soul a great hunger and a need, I want you to know, I want you to listen to the cry. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. You don't have anything to buy. You're going to have to bring your ashes, your burned out spirit, the whole, the great empty wreck of your life. You need to bring it right here. Give it to the Lord. Bring it here. He said, come and buy. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. You can't buy it. You can't do it with anything that you have. You don't have money enough to, but you can come and give your burned out shell to the Lord. And He'll take that sacrifice and He'll infill it with life. He'll infill it with hope. He'll infill it with a future. He'll take you and He'll clean you up and He can give you rest to your soul. He can give you peace and joy. We're in the place right now where there seems to be such a whirl in your mind, the web might be so tangled you have no idea how to untangle it. Oh, dear ones, I want you to know, if you bring it here tonight, the Lord knows how to untangle the web. I remember the mountains that seemed to be between me and the Lord. I remember the struggle that I had. And I remember I told the Lord, it's too far back, Lord. There's no way I can't make it. I remember when I started heading for that altar. And I remember how the mountain started dissolving. Oh, dear ones, when you come down here meaning business with the Lord, when you're crying, when your soul is crying out for mercy, when you really mean business, dear ones, He'll meet you there and He'll take the tangled webs. He'll take the mountains in your life that seems like there's no way you can get over, and He can make those things flat and plain. He can take and untangle the web, and He can give you a clear direction in life. He can give you joy and peace. Oh, and down the sixth verse it says this. This is an admonition from the Lord tonight. Don't look at just me, dear one. I have a stammering way. I know I won't be able to bring it out like, but listen, I hope the Lord will talk to you tonight. When He says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He's near. While the Lord's dealing with your soul tonight, I beg of you to call, come to the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He's... I'd have dreams of eternity. Oh, I wonder if people have dreams today. I wonder sometimes if the fear of God has left this nation to the point it seems like even young people have such hard hearts anymore. Oh, I pray God will give people dreams and visions of eternity. Ideas that they're really going to meet God. Because, dear ones, that's a fact. We're going to meet God. Whether you like it or not, you're going to meet God. Turn with us over here. There was a man in Acts, the 24th chapter. Man by the name of Felix. He had an opportunity brought his way because a man of God was willing to stand up for the truth, and he got himself in prison for it. Have you ever thought sometimes, dear ones, these brethren back then, they didn't shirk their duty in the face of opposition, great opposition. They could lose their heads for this. They stood up for the truth still. What a little price we pay today. I wonder sometimes today, God may want us to be able to testify in greater places than what we do if we'll just sacrifice. Here, this servant of the Lord is willing to stand for the Lord and to put Him in a place where he was before Felix. And as he was reasoning with Felix, let's read the 24th chapter and the 24th verse. And after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And he reasoned of righteousness, of temperance, and judgment to come. Dear ones, you know when we talked a while ago about the great wickedness of the world around us, you know in your heart that's right. You know in your heart that's right. Since you know that's right, you also know what is right for you to do. We cannot get around that fact. Dear ones, you know in the depths of your heart of what righteousness is. I remember when I was working up there in the jail, I talked with some young men that in the volunteer jail ministry there. I talked with some young men there that that they were astounded at my stance. They asked me if I had seen some things on television, and I said, no, I don't even have one. And they were astounded. They said, don't you have some children? I said, yes, I have some children. They said, well, what, your children are going to grow up not understanding some of these things. I said, well, there's some things they don't need to understand that's on that. And we got to talking about that, and I said, I claim to be a Christian. And they started talking about some things they saw on the television. And I said, now, I claim to be a Christian. And if you saw me sitting down here and watching this thing with you, how would you feel about me? They said, we'd think you're a hypocrite. These were people in the jail that were godless young men, and the honesty of their heart, they knew what righteousness was. You can't tell me we don't know what righteousness is. I don't have to read everything black and white in this Scripture to know where God's blessings are. We need to approach God with honesty. And the honesty, the cry of our heart needs to stand before the Lord. Lord, fill me with your presence and your direction, dear ones. And as he was dealing here with Felix, reasoning about righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix was convicted. He knew that someday he was going to have to meet these truths. And dear ones, a lot of times in the world, people try to, in their minds, they try to push this out of their minds. They try to think that, oh, that's way on down the future. I've got time to deal with these things. I've got time to be young and enjoy life. I've got time to be frivolous with my life. All the time, wisdom's crying in their heart. You've got a need in your soul. And dear ones, young people, they get involved in the world. And so carelessly with their young lives, Satan has a terrible trap. Seems like so quickly he gets them caught in some sort of relationship that's a terror to them from that time forward. And they get to the place then that all these empty holes in their life is there. Oh, that's a trick of Satan. The devil likes to take people down that way. But oh, and the devil would try to reason with young people and tell them they've got plenty of time. But oh, dear ones, all that time that they're wasting on the things of the world is getting a hold of them and putting claws in their life, putting things in there that rends them. Amen. He reasoned with Felix of temperance, of righteousness, of judgment to come. Felix thought of that, realized that, and he started trembling. Yes. That sounds good, doesn't it? Dear ones, we ought to tremble before the Lord tonight. When the Lord is looking at you with His all-seeing eyes, when He uncovers every corner of your heart, everything that you might have hidden from my eyes, maybe you have it hidden from the one sitting there next to you in the pew. Maybe you have it hidden from everybody else. But dear ones, there's the all-seeing eye of God. He sees right down the bottom of your heart tonight. He knows right where you are. Dear ones, I want you to know that it's not going to be any different than that when you meet Him up there. He's going to see clear through you. Tonight is the time to take care of the hidden webs in your heart. Tonight is the time to dig down in the bottom of your heart. Things that you may have covered up. Things that you may have hoped to be able to live down. Maybe it's hidden back there in the dark recesses of your heart. Oh, listen tonight. I believe the Lord would like to come by, hand you a key, and open up those locked doors in your heart. Get down to the place where the devil still has a root in there. He would like to set you free tonight. Dear ones, I want you to know, they're spirits of the world. Get a hold of people today, and it does terrible things to them. But I want you to know that you can come here today. You can come here tonight. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye by. You can come to the water. You can drink to that thirsty, dry spot in your soul. You can be thoroughly satisfied. You can know you're saved thoroughly tonight. You can come here and give up your own. Oh, I've been impressed with the young people and their response to their tenderness of heart, their response during this meeting. I'm thankful for that. But oh, I think there's a void of those who are older that still have places in their heart. Places that they have gotten accustomed with. Places that they've lived here. They lived in a place that one time it vexed their righteous soul. One time it was hard on them to admit that it was there, but they get on, they go ahead and live in that place and get to the place and they just accept it in their life and decide they're going to go on out there and meet God with it in their life. I beg of you tonight, maybe you're middle-aged, maybe you're older, and these things have been bothering you for many years. I want you to know tonight, God, the voice of God says to you tonight, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye, come and drink. Drink till your soul is satisfied tonight. This man Felix, he trembled when the Lord came by. The Lord came by and let him know exactly where he stood. And he trembled at the very thought of meeting God. Dear ones, you're going to meet God tonight. No, we need to do more than just tremble at the Lord. This man, he found an opportunity to put it off, you see. He wasn't willing to bow down. Oh, I don't know. Wonder what motivates people when they are brought up to the place where they know they have a desperate need in their soul, and maybe they even tremble at the thought, but still, for some reason, they push it off. Harder their heart grows. The next opportunity won't be as strong. The next time the Lord comes by, they may not tremble as much. They get more accustomed, you see, with this thing in their life. And it comes to a time when I see them get to their old gray hairs, come down to the place. I remember that I talked to a man there at home, claimed to be an infidel. Somewhere he had rejected the Lord. And when it came down for his time to go, I went to talk with him. He was so hard of heart. He was a kind man. I knew him as a friend. But when it came to him meeting God, he was void. The cry of his spirit, oh, it was a terrible cry. That can happen to you if you reject the wooings of the Lord. As you go step by step down that road, you'll come to the place in your old gray hairs. You'll accept that thing in your life to the place that finally you'll cross over without a cry, without a tear, facing death. But you're stepping out before the throne of God. I beg of you tonight, if the Lord's dealing with your soul, don't override that.
Amen.
Felix trembled. And then right after he trembled, he looked at God's messenger and said, "Go away."
Right.
He said, "It's not convenient for me right now to leave the place I'm living."
Lord.
He said, "It's not convenient for me right now to deal with this. It'll disrupt my life. There's too many changes it'll take place in my life. It's too much. It's just not convenient, Paul." Oh, there wasn't a more convenient time in Felix's life than right here for him to do business with God. Oh, tonight, dear one, if the Lord's dealing with your soul tonight, there's not a more convenient time than now. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. While He's still here, while He's here talking with your soul tonight, that's the time to respond. Allow your spirit tonight to be broken at the touch of Jesus. Allow your heart tonight to be broken at His touch. Respond to it. Oh, dear ones, sometimes the old heart, after we get set in our ways, a lot of times the touch of God, it doesn't do what it did when it was young. But I ask you tonight, if you feel the touch of the Lord, allow that touch to break right down in the middle of your heart. God wants to deliver somebody here tonight. God's here interested in delivering you. And turn with us over to Proverbs. Proverbs, the first chapter. First chapter in the 20th verse said, "Wisdom crieth without." Surely every one of us has seen examples of people who have neglected their soul's need. Doesn't wisdom cry? Doesn't it ever cause you to think, I can turn out like that if I take that path? Wisdom crieth, you see. Wisdom also tells you, young people, as you look at those who went before you and you see the hurts in their life when they haven't taken the Lord's way, when they foolishly, in a selfish manner, went and took their own direction. Young people, can't you see the wisdom cries? You see the pain and destruction in those lives. You see the things that the devil does to them. I ask you tonight to listen to wisdom as it cries to our hearts tonight. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. Right out there where you can see, she's not hiding her voice tonight. I believe wisdom tonight is coming and crying to you and I. I believe wisdom tonight would like to come and let us know that God of heaven is right here, interested in dealing with your soul, interested in taking care of your soul's need. And wisdom says, do that tonight. Wisdom cries and says, respond. In the opening of the gates in the city, she uttered her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you, because I have called, and ye refused. Oh, dear ones, wisdom cries and says, respond. Wisdom cries and teaches us of righteousness. Wisdom cries and tells us of what things we ought to do. I don't have to read it to you right here in the Scripture. You know already. The God of heaven has let you know what things are right for you to do. It says, because I have called. See, wisdom called. And we knew what we should do. But he said, when I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded it. But ye have, dear ones, this type of a response to the Lord is a cry like Sodom's. When you refuse God's cry, when you refuse God's touch and His appeal to our hearts, that goes up before the Lord as a cry that goes out, and it is a brazen cry. And that cry comes before the Lord in a way that He's interested in judgment. Tonight, don't allow that cry of rebellion come up before the Lord. Because I stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have said at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. This is a terrorizing scripture to me. When I think of the possibility that humans can still in this day, and they do, they override the dealings of the Lord, and they go on to the place that they hardly feel His touch any longer. And the Lord then looks at those people and said, because you have constantly overridden my reproof, you've constantly overridden my stretched out arm to you, He said, when your time of your trouble comes, He said, I'm going to laugh at your calamity. That's a terrible and a desolate place. When we get to the place that the God of heaven laughs at our calamity. May that not be the case of anyone here tonight. I trust that so. I will mock when thy fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me. Then, you see, they're in trouble now. Oh, but listen, don't let the devil beat you tonight. Sometimes the Lord allows things to come your way that you'll cry out to Him. If you have calamity in your life and you feel the Lord dealing with you, you can cry out. You can come here. He's still in the saving business tonight. Come and beg for mercy tonight. This is talking about people who constantly overrode that. And they got careless and got accustomed to the check of the Lord and just disregarded it. And He said, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way. If you want to, you can. You can eat of the fruit of your own way. But that's not the desire of the Lord. One last scripture real quick. Let's turn over here into Luke. The 13th chapter. The Lord is great and loving and merciful. And the Lord calls to people. And the Lord gives opportunity, many of them. He's great. He's very merciful. I thank the Lord that He's that way, because I wouldn't be here tonight if He wasn't. Many of you wouldn't either. But I thank the Lord that He's merciful. One time Jesus looked over Jerusalem. I think also at this juncture that along with His mercy, when we reject
and set up a pattern our lifelong of rejecting His counsel, rejecting His wooing. Harder and harder our heart grows. We get to the place then that we can override His very Son when He comes our way. And then we get to a place in our life that we have to realize our utter desolation of our spirit. Luke 13 and 34. Jesus looked at Jerusalem. This was the very reason why He came. He wanted Jerusalem to accept Him. He wanted them to have His arms around Him, around them. He wanted to be able to take Jerusalem in His arms and comfort them and let them follow right on into the kingdom of peace that He had to give. But Jerusalem, because they had been rejecting the counsel of the Lord, because they had followed after selfishness in their life, and by the greatest majority of decisions in your hand. Tonight in your hand. Tonight you have this moment in your hands. Are you going to let it slip through your fingers like sand? Or will you respond? Jesus cried when He saw them reject Him. He loved them. He wanted them to have the greatness of the kingdom. Then after they rejected Him, this was right here toward the last, He looked at them and said, "Now look at your house. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily, I say unto you, ye shall not see Me until the time come when ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." House was left unto you desolate. That doesn't have to be your. That doesn't have to be yours tonight. I would like to have a songbook. Turn with us in the book over to 418. The writer here, evidently, he must have had a real burden for souls when he wrote this. He said, "Oft in the noonday and even, and in the stillness of night, sounds in the bosom this warning, turn from the evil, do right. Yet is a voice still unheeded, though it is Jesus who pleads, calling the wandering sinner, offering grace for your needs. Soon will your death knell be tolling." You think you have a long time to live? I don't know. If I asked you tonight how long you had to live, which one of you could answer me? You don't know. But this much we do know. It's appointed unto every man once to die, and after that the judgment. We're going to face God. "Soon will your death knell be tolling. Earth shall not see you again. Soon will your place be left vacant. Where will your spirit be then? Up to the courts of the blessed? Only the holy may go there. Torment is waiting the sinner. This is the truth that you know. While you are sliding God's mercy, your heart grows harder and harder. Down in the darkness you're choosing, thus in your folly to go. Down where no light ever enters. Down where no hope shall appear. Barred out of heaven forever. Sundered from all that is dear. While he's pleading surrender, turn to the Savior today. Leave all the past far behind you. Walk in His glorious way. See all the future before you, lighted with hope and with peace. Drink of that river of pleasure, streams that shall ever increase." I beg of you tonight, as we sing a song, the Spirit of the Lord is dealing with you. Please respond.